It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of the Drive underway. It's time for the Top 4 at 4. It's brought to you by Linderman Sports Medicine in Memphis. Check them out online at lindermansportsmedicine.com. Number 1. Tennessee opens up as a 4-point favorite on the road at LSU. Number 8 Tennessee, number 25 LSU in Baton Rouge, a high noon kick. ESPN will have the telecast. Tennessee announces today Warren Burrell, cornerback, out for the season. He had a shoulder operation. And I guess, you know, he did not play in 4 games, so I suppose he could come back next year. Look, he was whipping boy number 1 for the secondary, which was really unfair for the first couple of games. Did he play well? No, not really. Has any of our defensive backs played well? No, not really. There's a reason he was out there. He was one of the 2 best defensive backs. I think they thought he was our best corner. And I'm not saying that if he were out there, we're 96th, whatever, total defense. I'm not saying it would be top 50, but it would be a little bit better than what it's been. And we'll miss him the rest of the way.
I mean, there was a reason he was starting.
He's an experienced player who understood the scheme. And it was frustrating to watch him not make plays, but now I hope he gets to come back next year and finish out his career healthy. And then Cedric Tillman's up in the air. We won't know. I wouldn't expect to hear anything concrete on him the rest of the week. And we'll just sort of see if he's available on Saturday. Number 2, Tennessee's next game after LSU has been set for a kickoff time. Alabama is now number – did they go back to number 1 after Georgia?
I believe they did.
Number 1, Alabama, 3:30. CBS kickoff. Gary Danielson's back, Bear. It's your boy. Boy, people hate him.
He's an idiot. He's like the propaganda arm for either whoever his favorite team is that he's for the game he's calling. It's usually either Saban or Kirby Smart.
I actually don't think content-wise he's any better or worse than any other color guy. I just think he has an obnoxious voice.
Yeah, I don't like his tone.
I don't like his tone. I don't like his face. I don't like
I just don't like him.
He'll be back.
The guys on the Kentucky Ole Miss call had me raged out.
It was McDonough.
McDonough and Blackledge, is that who that was?
Yeah.
Oh, those guys are complete boobs.
I like McDonough. What's wrong with him?
Oh, with his histrionics over the, you know, wanting a targeting call on a play where Will, I'm Big Dumb Levis.
That was targeted. I'm glad they didn't call it, but that was targeting.
He initiated the helmet-to-helmet.
Stop.
Yes, he did.
Did you watch the game?
Repeatedly, I watched that play. I kept rewinding. I was like, what are they talking about?
He's trying to make a play for a first down. The guy came, like, that's textbook targeting.
He came down. The kid from Ole Miss was lower. He came down head first into him.
He didn't like on the back of his head. Levis didn't see it coming. His head was turned away from the defender.
Yeah.
How did he initiate something that he can't see?
It was the play before that. That's the one that McDonough wanted targeting called on. The play before that, they rocked him. I'm pretty sure it was the play before.
When he's coming, I'm only talking about one.
You're like one play
where he fumbled.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was targeting.
No.
Number 3. Tua Tagovailoa has been ruled out already for the Dolphins' Week 5 game against the New York Jets as he continues to progress through concussion protocol. No definite timeline for Tua's return. After he left the loss to the Bengals in Week 4, Teddy Bridgewater gets the start in his place. And sounds like they're going to have some changes to the NFL concussion protocol this week.
Well, it's not like the NFL to pass up a chance to do something a day late and a dollar short, is it?
Well, no, but, I mean, you got to do something, I guess. It's feels like they're almost kind of being shamed.
Did you not
doing it.
Feel like there was an inordinate amount of, like, catastrophic or near-catastrophic injuries this weekend on both levels?
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, C.J. Donaldson from
how about
West
Cine?
Virginia?
Yeah, how about Cine from Georgia playing for the Vikings now, breaks his leg in London. So not only does he have a broken leg, but he can't even fly home with the team. He has to have his surgery done right there in London by doctors with a funny accent. He's going to have to stay there for a couple of days healing
That'd
in a foreign country.
Right.
And yeah, that's just double
back
whammy.
In tip-top.
Double whammy off a double doink. We do send them good games. I mean, they can't complain about that.
Now, wacky stuff happens in those games. You think that'd be fun to go to? Like, if the Titans went over and you could somehow finagle it, that'd be a pretty fun trip.
Yeah, the Titans went to one of those a couple years ago. I think we lost.
Where do they play it? Like at Wembley?
They used to play at Wembley. They're playing at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium now.
The turf looks better, marginally. It just seemed too soft for American football.
Well,
those soccer fields do. Is it a different kind of turf?
I was thinking about that yesterday. That was artificial turf, and that is a grass field, so I don't know if they just lay the turf over it and then peel it up, or I don't know what they do, but. It's amazing what they can do with grass these days.
I'm not a grass expert.
Number four, Major League Baseball. Your soon-to-be National League East champion Atlanta Braves beginning a three-game road series with the Florida Marlins in Miami tonight. Trying to wrap this thing up. Mets play host to the Nationals. That's not done. But that was fun. Those are three great games, too, man. Just down to the wire. But I kind of like when Kentucky plays Tennessee in football or the Vols played Florida until this year in football. One team expects to win. One team hopes they can win. Braves expected to win this weekend. The Mets knew their role. They knew their role, Bear. And you know what I say to that? Put it in your pipe and smoke it. Get some. Oric. Get some. Brandon Oric. You suck. Get some. Our division. Did you ever forget it? Did you ever forget it? Try to step to us in the ATL again, you insolent punk. It's your top four at four, brought to you by Linderman Sports Medicine, the Southeast leader in stem cell technology and modern regenerative medicine. You can check them out online at LindermanSportsMedicine.com. If you have hobbies that you just can't do, whether it's out there playing golf or tennis, doing a little jogging, or just something as simple as gardening or walking, and you can't do it, check out LindermanSportsMedicine.com. Find out how they can help you get back to the active life without going under the knife. Dr. Laura Linderman is a UT Martin athlete. She graduated from UT Medical School here in Knoxville. She's VFL through and through, loves the Big Orange, and she wants to help you put some of these terrible physical debilitations behind you and get back to the things you love to do. She helps people from all over the Southeast overcome these issues, including high-level athletes from the Memphis Grizzlies and other professional sports teams. She did a fellowship with the legendary Dr. James Andrews down in Birmingham as part of her education, and now she has a great practice in Memphis. Check them out, LindermanSportsMedicine.com. And they also do physical therapy down there, something that has greatly improved my life several times over the years. So they offer a variety of services. Check them out online at LindermanSportsMedicine.com. All right, let's get to the phones. It is Overreaction Monday on the drive this afternoon. Phil is next. Good afternoon, Phil.
What are you saying, dude?
What's up, Philly?
How you and Barry doing?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm hanging there. Mark's blown away. Can't make it.
Marcus, I don't think this is a HIPAA violation, but Marcus has a touch of the vid these days. Yeah. He's doing fine, though, and we hope he's back tomorrow at the earliest.
Okay.
So, yeah, he'll be back soon.
Well, it's been a good weekend. I guess congratulations to the Braves for sweeping the Metropolitans.
Hey, when you just own a team in something, Phil, you just expect to win. And the Braves expected to win, and when the money was on the line, the Mets laid down.
Well, honestly, the Braves are better than the Mets, even though, I mean, the Braves probably do believe they can win more than the Mets can.
Well, here's the thing, man. I was talking to somebody today. You're not likely to see a better trio of pitchers than the Braves saw this week. And you go back to that last series, I don't remember if it was July or early August, in Atlanta against the Mets, and Scherzer and DeGrom shut them down.
Yeah.
I mean, it was not good, and they were able to get to those guys early and take them out of the park, and that was impressive, man, to see some of the guys that have been slumping here lately, Olsen and Riley in particular, get it going again. Gives you a lot of hope going into the postseason.
Oh, yeah, they're hot. It's the right time. That's all that matters.
Yep.
Really. But it was an enjoyable Saturday. Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach made my Saturday a lot brighter, you know what?
Well, Leach was about the only thing that saved my gambling weekend. But, yep, the Mississippi schools, big week for Mississippi State and Ole Miss. They got it done.
Yeah. And Kiffin beat Stoops in his own game. Play run smash mouth football and beat Kentucky in their own game.
You know, their quarterback, when you look at his stats, Jackson Dart kid, he's just okay, right? He's not very good.
No, he's very pedestrian.
But those two running backs they have.
He's got arguably
the best duo in the league.
Yeah. Zach Evans is he's a polished running back. And then that freshman is just, he's got that phenom. As long as he doesn't get hurt, like doesn't hurt, have anything with his legs, like his knees or anything, he's got a whole nother level of talent.
And defensively, Ole Miss is better than they were last year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they specialize in kind of what I think Tennessee hopes to do and what the Titans have been able to do is, like, man, between the 20s, they give up a lot of yards and a lot of yards easy. But once it gets in the red zone, Phil, they shut it down and they create turnovers and make it difficult on you. And
yeah, it makes you get field goals, you know?
Yeah, win in the red zone. It's big.
Yeah, and Kentucky can't blame herself. I mean, they thumbed the ball. Why didn't they give it to Rodriguez on that 3rd-and-3 down there on the goal line when he's your best player and that quarterback's nothing but a choke artist?
It's a program that is stuck on that step between pretty good and very good. You know, I mean, you got to learn to win those games, and they just
it's more like mediocre to fire than, you know, pretty good. It's real. But
yeah.
Tennessee got a golden opportunity this weekend. Go down there and beat LSU. It's a winnable game. Of course, they could lose the game. I mean, LSU's not going to just lay down for us like everybody on the radio. It seems like they think this is going to be a breeze, and, you know, a day in the park going down there.
Hey, man, the portion of our fan base that is, like, looking at Alabama and Georgia as if the fate of the free world hangs in the balance. It's like, dude, we are playing LSU and Baton Rouge this week. This is a toss-up game. If you don't think this is a toss-up game, you're insane.
Well, they're idiots. This is going to be – I mean, this is the best front seven this offense has faced all year.
Yeah, it's the third best team talent-wise we're going to face the whole year. I mean, even though they're devoid of talent like they usually are, behind Alabama and Georgia, they're the third most talented team we're going to see all year.
And, I mean, one of the things I did see the other night, they're still capable of preventing most anybody from being able to make it to the corner on them when they're playing defense. They're incredibly fast, sideline to sideline, laterally. It's unbelievable how athletic they are.
That linebacker they got, he'll be a first-round draft choice. What's his name, Ojulari or something like that?
Ojulari.
Yeah, he's tough.
Yeah. Oh, he's one of the best in college football. So, but there's some ways that you can. They diagrammed it the other night. I mean, the kid from Auburn just picked the one out of the five places he could have ran. He picked the one wrong one and on the strip sack. So,
well, if we get ahead of them early, which they're a slow starting team, and you got to at least put them away so they can't come back. Make things interesting. We've kind of been prone to do it here against Pittsburgh and Florida.
Yeah, to me, early on in the week, the matchup I'm looking at is how's our offensive line going to deal with their pass rush, and can they continue to give Hinn and them taken pretty good care of Hooker so far this year.
Yeah.
So
Hooker's done a good job, but. Did y'all see where Collector's going up against Gonzaga in a scrimmage? It's going to be on pay-per-view. Y'all talked about that yet?
We hit on it in the Rocky Top report earlier. It's, $10 to go to a good cause.
Good
I'm fine
10
with
bucks,
that.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Get to see BJ. It'd be kind of cool, you know?
Against elite competition, yeah. I mean, I'd say those two teams will be getting after it.
Get to see Timmy one more time. I mean, how many years is that guy going to be playing in college basketball, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he should be on the college basketball. He should be getting AARP pretty soon, Phil.
Guys, you hadn't been talking about LSU and Tennessee in baseball. I'd give my right arm to beat LSU in football or Tennessee in baseball. This is the most important game for Tennessee in a long time because we owe LSU. They run our program in 2001. Let's get some payback. See you.
There's a certain, and I'm not throwing it in the way back. I know you hate that, but there is still a certain segment of our fan base that takes this game very personally.
Yeah.
The older part of it.
No, I mean, I'm part of that. And it's like, yeah, what Phil's saying is true. And for us old timers, like that will, this, it matters, man. It's a big game. It's a big game just because it's a big game and they're a good
LSU
team.
LSU and Baton Rouge, man.
It's a conference rival, on the road, hostile environment, top 25 team, all that stuff. That's what matters to the coaches and the players. I don't think they really care about the history, and I think that's a good thing. But for the fans, the longtime Tennessee fans who remember the glory days, yeah, I mean, like that is – I don't get into this – you know, line of demarcation talk about, you know, but before the 2001 SEC championship game, we were great. And then afterwards, we weren't. Like, to me, it's a gradual drop off and a slide that occurred over several seasons. But yeah, I mean, there's some painful losses through the years. My fear is that we get up big on them early and then let them creep back in. That's my fear this week.
Well, hopefully Coach Heupel and all the coaching staff will continue to hammer home. What's he say? Don't look at the damn scoreboard.
Like, I don't worry if we fall behind. Like, at Pitt, like, if – because they're not going to get up 35-0 on it and slam the door shut. Like, Tennessee –
I've stayed pretty confident throughout the Florida game once. That pivotal point where we got out a little bit ahead of them.
If we are within three scores – and there's more than 2 minutes on the clock, we got a chance with the way Tennessee plays. So I'm not worried about that, but I'm worried that, you know, last year you got so far ahead of Missouri that they were underwater and couldn't do anything. But the next week you got a big lead against South Carolina. And if you remember, it got a little hairy there for a second. Not super hairy, but a little bit to where it's like, oh, we can't just play our third string for the entire fourth quarter. We have to keep grinding this thing out. They did. This is, first of all, you're on the road in Baton Rouge. Second of all, they're a much, much better team. The 247 talent composite, by the way, has them ranked eighth in the country. They're the eighth most talented roster in the country. They've got 33 4-stars on their roster and 5 5-stars. A lot of talented players.
Mississippi is 3 years removed from a national championship.
If we get up 3 or 4 scores on them with our defense, it's not over.
No. Especially if they're out on the field a long time before scoring fast, which they are exploitable. If our offensive line can handle and give Hooker a clean pocket, I really think that Heupel and Hooker can light him up.
Oh, I can't wait to say. They've had 2 weeks. You know they've been in the lab. You know we got some wrinkles that they haven't seen. I can't wait. We're gonna move the ball. We're gonna put some points on the board. We're gonna be wearing the Smokey Rays evidently and the
really
steaming hot Baton Rouge sun.
I hope the boys are properly hydrating this week.
Pickle juice.
You think LSU will flop if we go fast? Will Brian Kelly flop?
I don't know, man.
I've got just tons of questions about this week.
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
Stay with us. The Drive continues. More of your phone calls coming up.
The Drive.
Looking at the 247 Sports list of – they rank the recruiting assistants.
Okay. For football?
Yeah. So number one is Freddie Roach, Alabama's D-line coach. Number two is Brian Hartline, wide receivers coach, Ohio State. Tommy Reese at Notre Dame's number three. Who do you think our best recruiter is? Well, you'd think it would be Garner, right? Rodney Garner?
No.
No?
Golish?
Golish is number 34. He's the second UT coach on this list.
Willie Martinez. Yeah.
He's number 32.
Makes sense.
Now, it looks like, if I'm reading this correctly, which is quite possible I'm not, it looks like they rank this by the number of commitments in a given in the current class. Where that coach is the primary recruiter. And so we have all those DBs committed. That seems to reason. And then I guess Golish probably gets credit for Nico.
Malava, yeah.
I mean, I would still, like, if you're asking me to rank the recruiters on our staff just personally, like, who are the best, it's Garner by a lot at number one. Then –
We got to start getting – we have.
I mean, I guess the thing I was thinking here is does Heupel need to upgrade his recruiting staff?
You asking me honestly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Need another hired gun in there?
Yeah. Yeah. You need somebody that can go out and who's got a proven track record of – identifying running backs.
Yeah, that's a weird one, man. And Jerry Mack seems like
love Coach Mack. I think the running backs, he does a good job with what he's got, but
need better talent at that position.
Yeah.
865-546-8200. If you want to jump on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, 546-8200. Let's get TJ the Kentucky fan in here next. Good afternoon, TJ.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
TJ, doing well, man. How are you? Have you processed the defeat? Are you licking your wounds still?
Oh, man, what are you talking about? The Braves swept the Mets and the Titans won. Hey, we're 2-for-3, right?
Yeah, you can't get them all, huh?
Hey, look, sometimes the ball doesn't bounce your way. I know that Levis has a lot of hate on him from other fan bases, but I don't blame him on the last fumble at all. Unfortunately, our starting left tackle, Jeremy Flax, went out with a torn hamstring, and they put a freshman in, and, well, he got beat, and that's what caused the strip sack.
Oh, it was a torn hammy? Like a torn hammy? Because they were saying it was a cramp during the game.
No, there's there's rumor going around he's going to be out for quite some time.
Did you see when they were stretching out his leg? I mean, he's a huge guy, right? And the trainer's stretching him out, and I guess he got mad or something and kicked. Like, he almost stomped the poor trainer out there.
Yeah, no, we got beat up down there at Ole Miss. Starting linebacker Jaquez Jones is going to be out for probably the rest of the season. We lost one of our starting defensive backs down there too, so we're hurting. You know, the loss hurts, but when you lose players for an extended period of time, that hurts too. But that's football. Next man up, right? Talking about this Tennessee-LSU game, you know, we talk about teams. I think you just said it right before the break. You or Bears said it. You know, Kentucky's on the fringe of being a good team or a great team. That's the kind of games that great teams win. Would you consider going down to Baton Rouge, a win or a loss is the difference in between a great Tennessee team or just a good Tennessee team this year?
It's definitely the difference between something, because if the rest of the season goes chalk, it's the difference between 10-2 and 9-3. And the difference between 10-2 and 9-3 is pretty significant in my mind. It's a 10-win season.
It's a New Year's Six Bowl.
So, yeah, I mean, it's like, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, you know, Tennessee, it's a failure and not ready for prime time. Like, if Tennessee goes 9-3 this year, that's the best season Tennessee's had in 15 years. You've had some big wins along the way. That is a really nice season. 10-2 special, though. Yeah, like you said, I mean, you're talking about going to the Sugar Bowl. And, yeah, so this is a big moment for Tennessee to get from very good to very, very good. I don't know how I would phrase it. I'll have to think about that for a little while, because there's another level beyond that, right? There's another level beyond 10-2 to get to that whatever Alabama and Georgia are doing, which I don't think we're in that conversation yet. Maybe we are. We'll see. But for right now, yeah, I mean, if you're 10-2, then obviously you go down to beat LSU and Baton Rouge. That's a big deal.
You know, maybe it's the optimism in me. Maybe I'm crazy. But after watching Georgia against Missouri, now I get it. Good teams have bad games. I get it. But do you not feel better about the East being a little more open than it has in the past 3 or 4 years?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I don't think Georgia prepared the way they should for Mizzou. I don't think they had their full and complete attention. And you saw that late in the game when they had to have it, they whipped Mizzou at the point of attack, at the line of scrimmage. And same thing with LSU. I don't think they prepared like they should have for Auburn. They think, oh, this Auburn team's in disarray. They're not very good. True freshman quarterback. We're going to go out there and roll them. Well, still Auburn in Jordan-Hare Stadium, and they very well could have lost that game. Georgia very well could have lost at Mizzou. It's the SEC. So, like, yes and no, I think it's interesting that those two teams could play with those two higher-ranked teams, but I don't think that Georgia is going to overlook Tennessee or Kentucky, for that matter, the way they overlooked Missouri. And that's what I'm sticking with for now.
Well, I tell you this. I think good teams, maybe even great teams, rebound from a loss at Ole Miss and beat a team like South Carolina like they're supposed to by 2 touchdowns. So we'll see what happens this weekend. But I will say, Will Levis's finger, that looked absolutely disgusting. Y'all have a good one, man.
Thank you, TJ. That's the really kind of injury, if he has it on his right hand, is probably a different story.
Oh, yeah. His throwing hand?
Yeah. Which finger was it? Was it?
It was I'm trying to remember. I think it was his ring finger, maybe, or it was either his ring or his middle.
Now, was it broken or dislocated?
No, he just dislocated the second knuckle.
Yeah.
They just popped it right back in and taped it.
This is one of those, like, rare times where, like, I've actually had the same thing and can actually offer some some like what's it called? Yeah, I've had that too, whatever. But yeah, it looks like once it's back in, it still hurts and it can come back out, but you tape it up, it's okay.
It's just kind of an ache. I don't know. Once you get over the initial supernova, looking down at it, that first burst of pain, you got your middle finger, which finger?
My pinky on my right hand.
Really?
Yeah. It was all crooked, like pointing the wrong way, couldn't move it.
I got my right thumb.
Freaked me out. It'll freak you out.
Yeah.
It's not the way it's supposed to look, man.
Why is my thumb pointed in the wrong direction?
That's not the way this works. Yeah. How would you phrase that? Winning against LSU in Baton Rouge and going from 9-3 to 10-2, it's the difference between being like a B-plus team and an A-minus team. Because anything beyond 10-2 is you're in the realm of the elite. You're talking about you're a championship contender at that point.
You've got a seat at the table.
I don't think we're a championship contender right now. And am I selling it short? Like, should I?
No, you're not at all. Everybody needs to pump the brakes. We're just not there. I'm telling you. I thought, you know, you always back away from it. I'll pull the trigger on it.
Well,
I mean, I watched Alabama and Georgia back to back Saturday night. And the thing that jumped out at me, they play with an overwhelming level of physicality. Georgia absolutely on both sides of the ball. Score was not indicative of it, but when it got to crunch time there at the end of that game, they were absolutely knocking the hell out of Missouri.
Well,
punishing.
The sideline reporter asked Kirby when they were going in at the half, well, you're sputtering and you know, momentum's going against you and all this stuff. And he was like, look, we're getting whipped at the line of scrimmage. And you can't win in this league unless you win the line of scrimmage. That's how he thinks. That's how he and Saban think.
There's a lot of truth
in it. It is. And
90%.
I don't know that our guy necessarily thinks that way.
He attacks the problem from a different direction than those guys is the best way to put it.
We'll see. Like, maybe there's a limit to how much you can win doing. Like, that's my fear, is that
there is a ceiling.
At a certain point, you got to have the big, like, 6'6", 320 pounds.
Like that.
Just, like, whatever. Grab a guy by the neck and beat the crap out of him.
Like, it was like he was a wildling giant, that kid that plays for Georgia.
The tight end, the Washington?
Dude, the dude that just walks like the Giants did.
on Game Darnell Washington catches that ball, and he's rolling down the sideline, and he jumps up and knees the defensive back in the face, but took his head off.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
And then the other one, I mean, anybody else...
It should be a penalty, but what do you call it? Oh, no, that's just a big guy running into a little guy.
The one where he got knocked, like, 15 feet in the other direction, I can't remember which kid it was, but, like, launched himself at Washington's head, and he bounced off of him. If that had been any other player on any other team, they probably would have had to be calling, you know, the card out for him.
So that's
– they're huge, man.
If we can start –
beating them?
If all I'm saying is first things first. If Tennessee beats LSU this week
– then we can have
– we can start talking about the C word, the championship, not the other C word, Bear. Get your mind out of the gutter. We can start talking about that. We can have that conversation next week if you win this week.
Yeah, this, you know, this is a firewall. We got to win this game if we want to continue this. The
ride. And it's legitimate. If you're 5-0 and Alabama's coming to town and you've got the opportunity,
and you've beaten Pitt in successive weeks, what Pitt, Florida, LSU.
Well, I mean, you're undefeated, and yes, but technically you are in that championship conversation. I'm not ready to go there yet. What do you think about it? Let me know, 865-546-8200. If you want to get on the Big Orange Phillies phone lines, we'll take a quick break. We'll come right back with more of your phone calls after this.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Overreaction Monday edition of the show. Portions of our program brought to you by the good folks at Matlock Tire. Five locations in Farragut, Lenoir City, Maryville, Athens, and Hardin Valley. Matlock knows tire. They also know people. They've been a staple of our community since 1953, locally owned and operated family business that is now in the third generation of Matlock ownership. They're the home of the price match guarantee. That means you can bring in any competitor's ad and they'll match the exact same tire for the exact same price at Matlock Tire and Auto Service. Going the extra mile for you, schedule your next service appointment at MatlockTireService.com. We go back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines where Brad in La Follette is next. What's up, Brad?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going well. How are you, sir?
Hey, buddy. Great. Hey, I got a question about Tillman and his surgery that he had. Is it confirmed that he had the tightrope surgery? Is that what I heard last week?
I didn't hear the press conference. Hypo confirmed that he had surgery. I don't know if he used the word tightrope, but that's what he had.
Yeah. Well, I've heard that from other shows that it's basically invasive. It's basically just like a scope, and they go in there and clean up a few things. But I watched the video on what a tightrope surgery is. I had a ton of time to kill today. Yeah. And that's more than just that. I mean, you're talking about drilling holes into bones and running cables through and yeah. It's basically the bone that runs down the side that attaches to the ankle.
Yeah.
You drill through that bone and through the bone on the other side across. Then you feed a cable through, and then you cinch the bones together, and it's held by two cables.
And I believe he had it 3 weeks ago, roughly. He had it Tuesday or Wednesday after the Akron game.
I'm not a doctor or anything, but I mean they said that it's intended to speed up their recovery process. But I mean, how fast can you recover from drilling holes in your leg?
Well, I think it depends on a couple of factors, right? It depends on, first of all, your body type and just how quickly you heal. But I also think it depends on your size. Like, offensive linemen are going to take longer. The bigger you are, the more weight you place on the joint, it's going to take longer to heal. And then I think position is also big, right? So Tua had this thing and played 28 days after he had it. So right at 4 weeks. Now, Tua can run a little bit, but he's not a dual threat. Like, he's going to sit there and pass. It's a lot different, in my opinion, what he was able to do versus what we're asking Tillman to do as a wide receiver. They're similar body types proportionally. Like, these are two guys who are really good shape, low body fat, right? But Tillman is going to be running. He's sprinting, right? Cutting hard on that ankle on certain routes and blocking, which is a big part of playing wide receiver. So he's going to be in the pile. Like, so to me, it is probably going to take him a little bit longer. Quite frankly, I'd be pretty shocked if he played this week, and I'd be a little surprised if he played against Alabama. I would just err on the side of caution with him because I don't think the drop-off from Tillman to Keaton is that significant. There's a drop-off, to be sure. Tillman's the better player, but I don't see Tennessee's offense functioning terribly less efficiently without him.
It all goes down to depth. I mean, what happens if Keaton goes out there and twists an ankle or gets concussed? I mean, who do we got behind him that's got to step up? I mean, we need kind of all hands on deck. We can't afford to be hit with the injury bug, and we ain't even played Georgia and Alabama yet, or LSU. I hate that about Warren Burrell. I mean, I think it's kind of funny that we were all, you know, wanting whoever's behind Warren Burrell to get in there. Now that Burrell's out, we're like, God, I wish we had Burrell back. there were some things about that Florida game. I mean, I know everybody's seen that video of that dude that does like the fake coaching thing, and he had Tennessee on there, and he showed that play where where we had three guys there to make the play, and we just let the guy run down the sideline. Charles really stood out to me on that. I mean, he standing there. Instead of standing there, he should have blew that guy into next week.
Yeah.
Instead of just slowing down and just standing there looking at it. And we need somebody in the secondary like that. A headhunter.
I noticed the exact same thing. Everybody's roofing on poor Trey Flowers for getting trucked, and like that sucks for him.
Oh yeah, what did he say? But, Christian Charles made a business decision.
But he's engaged with the guy, and Charles just sort of slows up as he's approaching there. No, you go in there and help your teammate. He's got him low, you take him up high, and you make the tackle.
He's got him teed up for him. He just stood there and
caused a fumble.
Right down the sideline.
Blow his ass up.
Or at least make the tackle.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, guys. That's all I got. We'll holler at you later.
Thanks, Brad.
Potential moment there.
It was effort. That's the thing that sucks about that, is it's effort. It's one thing when we get smoked by a better player or we're playing the wrong technique. Oh, he's giving a huge cushion, that guy. That's just effort. It's like you're not running as hard. You're not trying as hard as you can. You got to play harder, bro.
Well, I mean, I would imagine the funny guy on Twitter is not the only person.
What do you think Nick Saban says about that in his secondary meeting?
He doesn't have anybody that would
to
do
quote
that.
To quote Dewey Warren, "Here's a bus ticket and an apple.
Yeah.
Your replacement has been called up from the minor league club."
They play to the very echoes of the whistle at all times.
Maybe that's a problem, man.
That's what makes him so dangerous about being in a game with them, is that they will absolutely.
Well, you say that like it's a bad thing. Like, I want our team to play that way. I want to play with that ferocity and intensity and never say die attitude. That's what championship teams do.
Well, sure. We've tasted it here. We've seen it here. It's been a long time, but we've seen it, what that looks like. So just a question of, the ultimate question, will Heupel get us there?
Well, and for Tim Banks and Willie Martinez, do you put that? And that's not the only one. We're piling on poor Christian Charles right now. But go back and look at the touchdown on the next drive where Anthony Richardson just runs right around the end. Our guys are not playing balls to the wall at times on defense. I think that's a big problem. I realize that we're out-athleted at certain positions, and the way we play offense affects the way the defense plays. I think there's an intensity deficit. And nobody's talking about it now because we're 4-0 and we're number 8 and it's all good. But I guarantee you, man, if they lose this one, or even if they lose to Alabama, it'll be a topic of conversation.
Yeah. We absolutely have to get better at open field tackling, being aggressive. Kamal Haddon, he had, one or two where Anthony Richardson just threw him down on the ground.
Let's get Trey in here next. Trey, you're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
Good afternoon, fellas.
What's up?
Well, I've talked myself into it. Our defense sucks, but we're going 12-0.
It can be done. We just have to score 70 points a game, Trey. It can be done.
Exactly. God, we're not stopping Alabama's running back. And I actually hope for Bryce Young. I did not want to play their other quarterback.
If I were Bryce Young, I would do.
You're hoping for Bryce Young instead of Milroe?
Honestly, I kind of am. That kind of mobile. That dude's a beast, Russell, and he's fast.
Trey, did you bump your head or say? Did you sleep through last year when Bryce Young put 50 on us, like? Easily? Did you miss the Heisman ceremony? I know we don't care about the Heisman here in Knoxville, but guy's pretty good.
Yeah, I honestly would rather have a gimpy Bryce Young.
Well, now that's
a few times.
Yeah. Now that's.
I mean, I like our odds with that better than I do. That dude is just a beast. I don't know how he's not a running back. That's just. It's crazy, but
because of right now, he's a starting quarterback on the number one team in the nation.
I get that, Bear. I'm just saying, like it's that's a whole other level of running quarterback. But anyway, Georgia, though, I don't know what went on there, but they look human, don't they?
You know what I really think happened? My theory, I've got a big theory about this. I mentioned it to Russell in text. Before that game, Carter and a couple of the Georgia players wandered down to the Missouri side of the field. I mean, they aren't even – I mean, they're wearing, like, sweatpants and T-shirts and stuff. They first got on the field and started stretching, and there was a ruckus.
Brouhaha?
And a punch did get thrown, and I wonder if they went out there and just – kind of did what one of the things I hate about Georgia, they just act like punks. They went down there and act like punks and pissed off that Missouri defense and got them all fired up. So they came out and smacked them.
Yeah. And Stetson Bennett, man, he's not good. I mean,
he's tough, somehow, man. He took some shots.
Garantano was tough there.
Well, he doesn't have to be good, is the thing. When you have that kind of talent around you, you can manage the game. Now, I think that he does have more playmaking ability than we give him credit for, and he's really experienced at this point. I just don't think Missouri did not get Georgia's best shot the other night, just like LSU did not get – or Auburn did not get LSU's best shot. We're getting LSU's best shot Saturday.
Yeah.
Hey, even with their best shot, Russ, I think we're walking the dog on them. I didn't see a lot there that scared me. I really didn't. I think as long as we come out.
I'm sorry. I'm having deja vu here. Oh yeah, this is the same conversation we had about Florida after they South Florida game. They screwed around there, and Florida lit us up.
You're right. That did happen, but I think that Richardson. Better than
LSU
quarterback.
Man, I hope you're right. It's eerily similar. Richardson was banged up. Oh, he's got an injury.
Richardson's a better runner.
That's why they've got Jaden Daniels is banged up. Oh, he's got an injury.
But here's where they are similar. Both have pretty good running backs and a very fast and play with an edge kind of front seven on their defense. I think we can if we can give Hendon time, I think it can exploit that secondary. But what I worry about is us not being able to run the ball other than Hooker scrambling. So
even if he's scrambling and throwing the ball, I think I still give advantage to us. I mean, I think Heupel can scheme around that. If the ends are crashing in every play, I think maybe send Hooker right up the middle, force him to stay home.
Yeah.
I'm not as worried about it, man. I think we win by at least 2 touchdowns.
Trey, we've got to run, man. Appreciate the phone call. Thank you. Stay with us. Hour number 3 of The Drive coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Hey, Big Orange Country.